everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Doses Podcast, where we take on understanding American drug culture in small doses. I'm Maddie Monroe. I'm the founder of the Team Awareness Combating Overdose chapter here at Emerson College, and I've been working in harm reduction and researching American recreational drug use for a little over a year now. In the Doses Podcast, we'll be focusing on a new topic related to drugs in America in every episode, covering everything from overdose to the DARE program to the legalization of marijuana in an attempt to better understand the history and current state of drug use in our society. In this episode, Talk About It, I'm sitting down with Cameron Modi, the CEO of Taco Incorporated, a student-led nonprofit working to combat accidental overdose deaths among students through data-backed education and accessible harm reduction supplies. Today's episode is sponsored by Narcan, the leading brand in naloxone nasal sprays. Narcan is designed to rapidly reverse the effects of a life-threatening opioid overdose. You can hop on the Narcan website and use code DOSES, that's D-O-S-E-S, to get 10% off your order. Be safe, be prepared, carry Narcan. Now, let's jump into the interview and hear what Cameron has to say about this phenomenal nonprofit he's been leading. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast. This is the Doses Podcast. In this episode, we are focusing on your company, Team Awareness Combating Overdose. So just to get started, I'm hoping you can tell me just a little bit about yourself and then also a bit about Taco, what you guys do and what your mission statement is.
Yeah, of course. So first of all, thank you for setting this up. Super exciting. But yeah, my name's Cameron Modi. Sorry, you can't see my face. But my name's Cameron Modi. I'm the CEO of Taco Inc. Taco Inc. stands for Team Awareness Combating Overdose. I'm a senior at USC studying biomedical engineering from Irvine, California. And I joined Taco when I was a freshman as a distribution intern. And when I joined, there was about 10 people in the organization. And I joined as a distribution intern, meaning I just passed out fentanyl test strips to a bunch of different people. And as I got more and more involved and started seeing a lot more and more change around the community, I got more involved and got to be promoted. And then I was the director of distribution. I was in charge of like expanding our outreach from 5 to 23 different schools. And then I got promoted to CEO this past year. And so I've just been doing that ever since. And since then, our organization has grown to over 300 members nationwide. And we have a bunch of chapters like at Emerson. And so Taco, in a sense, is a 501c3 nonprofit started by college students and for college students. And our biggest thing is educating students about drug overdoses and drugs and passing out harm reduction materials and training people in Narcan. And so, you know, overdose is the leading cause of death for people ages 18 to 31, I believe. And so our biggest thing is educating people to make sure it doesn't happen. And so one of our biggest things is passing out fentanyl test strips, because fentanyl is the drug that a lot of these drugs are laced with, as it's incredibly lethal. About 2 milligrams of it can be lethal to people, and which is why it's really important people test their drugs for it, because, you know, any drug that they don't get from a pharmacy can be laced with it. And it's super important, and people don't realize that that's a thing until it's too late. And so that's what we do. We pass out these fentanyl test strips. We educate people through our Instagram and through different posts. We have a research team who they take in different peer-reviewed articles and make it digestible to the average college student. All information that goes out to our followers on Instagram. And then we have programs which we basically take large groups of people like in fraternities and sororities and train them in Narcan. And Narcan is a spray that completely reverses opioid overdose for a period of time enough to save their life and get to the hospital. And so we train people in it and get and are able to provide them with Narcan so they can use it on anyone who needs. And yeah, that's the basis of our organization. Super exciting stuff. A lot of lives saved. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Thank you for such a good, like, comprehensive overview. I feel like managing the Emerson chapter here, I always miss something when I'm giving somebody the spiel. So something I really love about working for Taco is that it's started
completely by young adults and has remained in the hands of college students and people in that late teens to early 20s range. And I'm curious why you think it's important that young adults have a place and a voice in this conversation about overdose prevention.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing for us is that college students, you know, when they are entering college, that 18, around the age of 18, a lot of them are very naive about like the drugs that are in our community because of how big of a taboo it is and how all the stigma around it. And so our biggest thing is educating them about them because, you know, at programs like DARE, when you're growing up, it was just like, say no to drugs, and it didn't provide you any information about them. And so like people are very like unaware about like the different like effects of drugs. And, you know, we trust that people are going to make their decision. We trust that with our education, people will make a decision. But it's not saying just saying no, it's providing the information that if you are going to do it, then do it safely. And if not, then great. Like it's, we think that's really important, especially with our age range, as people are introduced to new environments, new different types of people, especially around, especially being a young adult. And so, you know, providing education early on is ideal so that people aren't going into these situations with no information and just like trying whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I know me personally, like I had never even like heard the words harm reduction before I got to college, before I started with this. So yeah, I just think it's so cool that it's college campus focused. I think a lot of like the places where you guys have chapters, like don't have anything else going on in terms of like talking about recreational drug use. And I'm curious, coming into this position this year, do you have specific goals for TACO? Did you have specific goals that you've been working towards? You know, where do you want this organization to grow? Like, are there specific demographics you want to reach that you don't know if we're reaching right now? I'm really curious to hear about all that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think our biggest thing is just expanding to as many people as possible. I feel like our biggest thing is awareness. And the only way that people are going to find out about us is by expanding. And so like, you know, going to different colleges, being able to expand to places like Emerson, different big metropolitan areas, I think is really important. Because especially like places like LA is where the fentanyl crisis is at its worst. So like, you know, being able to target those kind of big metropolitan areas, like we're in New York, near Boston, LA, even the Bay as well. You know, just all those different types of places, I think is really important to me, especially considering I have friends who go to colleges all around the country. And I think it's really important to, well, our biggest thing is just like expanding. And, you know, I'd say our biggest barrier is just like that we do provide these fentanyl tests for free. And so that was one thing I did want to keep like as leader of this organization. My biggest thing is keeping these kind of materials for free to college students. So money is never a barrier for them to test their drugs. There's never like a reason for them not to. And so that is also a blessing and a curse, because that makes it tough on us because we don't make money from this. You know, all of our members are volunteers, and we all the money that we make through fundraising and different events goes straight into fentanyl test strips so that we can support all these different schools. So yes, I would say my biggest thing is to expand, but it's also to make sure that the organization can function with the expansion. Because, you know, like I said before, when I joined, we were a group of 10 college students, and since then we've expanded to over 310 different states and 24 different schools. So it's been a very quick ascension. And so I think just being able to stabilize that has been a big challenge of mine, but also incredibly exciting because, you know, there's every single day there's new people who want to get involved and new people who want to help out. And so it's tough to satisfy everyone, I'd say, but that makes me excited to go work for them every day.
Yeah, I'm always so like also so excited when you find other people who are like super interested in it. I know at Emerson, I was like, Emerson does not have like science in any capacity, no STEM. And I was like, nobody's going to like it because nobody's sciencey. But we found so many members who are like so passionate about the cause. And I love what you had to say about like making sure there are no financial barriers, because I think that is so often what keeps people from feeling like they can be safe in situations they may not be familiar with. You know, Narcan is pricey. So I really love, yeah, I really love that. That's a core goal that you guys have. I'm curious, do you think there are voices you want to hear more from, both like in TACO in general and also just like in the conversation about harm reduction? You know, I'm curious if you have any like demographics in mind who you think have like a valuable opinion, but maybe they're not at the forefront.
Yeah, I'd say like because our biggest, I mean, I'd say our biggest like voice right now is college students. So I'd say like increasing the conversation between people of their older generation would be really nice, because you know it is a big like cultural difference between like the stuff that we do and you know, I'd say an older kind of generation, like, you know, the people who are teachers and professors and our parents. Like, for example, like, you know, fentanyl wasn't really a thing when our parents were growing up. And so I think like this kind of thing, that saying like, you know, a 2 milligram like substance that can be laced in any of your drugs can kill someone, is like a very sobering and, you know, hard to believe thought, to be honest. And so like a lot of people who I've talked to in that older generation have had a tough time like getting behind the cause or like believing in what it does. And it comes with a lot of skepticism. So I think, you know, breaking down that barrier by having increasing conversation with that kind of generation would be really important. I experienced this with my own parents, actually, just being explaining to them what I do exactly. Because like, you know, they thought it was like a drug club, or we're like, you know, they don't really, I think it's hard to understand exactly what we're doing and what we're behind until you experience it personally. And so I think it's our goal to make sure that, to break down that kind of barrier and stigma that there is surrounding the conversation around drugs. And I think the biggest, you know, proponent of that would be the next generation, I mean, the older generation, because I think most people I talk to who are college students and around my age have been really easy to, because they know or they've experienced this kind of thing before. And so they're very receptive to our cause, and it's made life very easy as a someone who's expanding into different colleges.
Yeah, thank you so much. That actually leads really well into my next question, because I definitely, you know, understand when you are talking about this org and you say the neither pro nor anti-drug use, people are like, oh, you're not telling people not to do drugs. And that almost is a hard barrier to get over. I think especially like I've had that issue with like older admin members who just kind of like give me that blank stare for a second. So, you know, that stance on being neither pro nor anti-drug use is a massive part of TACO, which is a very different stance than the general public has kind of had in the past in regards to overdose prevention. And can you explain a little bit more on why TACO has taken the stance and why it's important for this to be the way we talk about drugs?
Yeah, of course. Great question. I think just saying no is never the way, because, you know, I think it was proven actually that telling people to just say no to drugs actually increased the likelihood they would say yes to drugs later on in life. And, you know, our target audience is college students, and we think that, you know, they're smart enough to make the correct decision based on their experiences and their education once we're able to educate them about drugs. So, you know, we give them information, and with that information, they can do whatever they want. And this way, you know, people can very safely participate in drugs if they choose to. And if not, they know how to take care of someone who does. This way, there's not some sort of barrier between, like, you know, people who use drugs and people who don't. And this way, it's a lot more cohesive. And, you know, people are accepting of that. You know, some people have substance use disorder. And that is something that is very tough for a lot of people to deal with. But, you know, a lot of people don't have information about it at all. They don't really understand what it's like. And, you know, we're looking to break down those kind of barriers and like increase those kind of conversations. So I think it's really important to not have a just say no stance, as was proven. And, you know, we've been through this in the past with DARE. And we hope that this is the way of the future, where people are taking this kind of stance, especially around the drug stigma and increasing conversation about it. And I think conversation leads to smarter decisions and can lead to less overdose deaths.
Yeah, that's amazing. I had like never, you know, I was one of those kids who got the Just Say No program. I feel like DARE somehow was able to extend itself a couple of years in my school for whatever reason after it had been cut off. But we just had like a long conversation in our chapter. Our advisor came in and did a war on drugs rundown about like how much of a failure it was and how much it doesn't work. And I love being able to be a part of something that like completely flipped the narrative in like a way that does work. And that's like one of my very favorite things about getting to work for this organization. This is shifting gears a little bit, but when it comes to working in harm reduction, working in an organization like this, everything can feel like so heavy, so depressing, so sad. But something I love about working with you guys is the content and the work environment doesn't constantly feel that way. So how do you go about like keeping you and your team from emotional burnout, and why is it important to do that?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really, I think just the cause that we're behind keeps people motivated. Finding out they're able to save thousands of lives a year, and having personal experiences with people, with like friends who've come up to me saying that, like, you know, fentanyl test strips saved my life. Your education has helped me save someone else's life. For example, we had a Coachella ambassador this past year who was able to save someone's life in the crowd who was overdosing on opioids. And he used Narcan that we trained him in beforehand, and he was able to save his life. And, you know, he's here with us today. And I think those kind of stories really keep our team motivated, especially because, you know, we are a volunteer organization. We don't get paid. I work, honestly, a full-time job with this, with no pay, but the work is, I mean, the work and the cause is what keeps me motivated for sure. Being able to like spread that with a team as well, seeing so many people who are behind the same cause and so passionate about it keeps me and I think my teammates all completely motivated.
Yeah, I love that. I totally agree with all of that. I'm really curious. Obviously, this whole thing was kind of birthed out of like a society not talking about it thing. You know, college admin for the most part is not on campuses like representing this issue in a good light. So I'm curious, like in a perfect world, do you think the responsibility like should be on college administrators to educate their communities about recreational drug use and to provide harm reduction tools on campus? Or do you think it's kind of important for students to take that on, whether that is like a student organization like TACO or like from an individual standpoint?
Yeah, so I think honestly, school administrations would be able to do it more effectively because of the resources and money they have. But I think we're a good stepping stone. We're a good start to that. And I think just being able to implement in the future some sort of drug education within school systems and being able to support them through that, like making it mandatory for college students, would be great. And that would be much more effective. I mean, not much more effective, but just like way easier to have a wide grasp and audience through that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we are college students who are volunteers who are also full-time work students in college. And so it is tough for sure to like kind of branch out and make sure that we're giving everyone the best education possible. I do think a side that we have is that we are college students providing information for college students. So we have that kind of angle that college administrators do not have. Because like, you know, I feel like we're able to communicate with our peers a lot easier than, you know, higher ups are able to communicate with them. But I'd say in the future, in an ideal world, for sure, like I think having college campuses provide harm reduction materials, Narcan, fentanyl test strips, and education would be amazing, because then they could make it mandatory throughout the entire school, and schools across the country. And this way that would make, you know, that I think that would be way more effective and be able to reach a lot more students than we have. But, you know, very, very much in an ideal world, because, you know, just from my experience, I'm sure you've experienced this too. It's really tough to work with college administrators with the kind of thing, because, you know, they have to admit that drugs are being used in their college campuses and they don't like that.
Yeah, it's been tough. I feel very lucky our admin has made a big shift since I kind of first showed up and pitched this idea. But it is a conversation we're having right now. You know, I'm like, Narcan should be on campus. And they're like, yes, a lot of yes buts. I think also an ideal word, like it's in the hands of administrators, but I always think students should have a voice, which I think is luckily the direction we're heading in here with this. And I hope it stays that way. Okay, again, this is kind of a bit of a big shift, but has your personal perspective on the overdose crisis changed over time? Like, I know I have a completely different mindset than I did even just a few years ago. And I'm curious if you've had a similar experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say like when I first entered college, I feel like where I grew up was definitely very sheltered. And I did not know much about the overdose crisis at all, honestly. Like I knew people used drugs. And I did not realize how prevalent it was and like how big of an issue the overdose crisis was until I started TACO, because I mean, I was started volunteering in TACO because, you know, I think especially when we first started college, like, you know, the fentanyl crisis wasn't as big as it is now. And so it is definitely something that with its rise has led to a lot more awareness about it, which is both a blessing and a curse. You know, obviously we don't want, you know, overdoses to increase because of fentanyl. But I think what has come from it is a lot more awareness from people about it. And, you know, they're able to understand the problem and, you know, see what's happened. And I think the same thing has happened within me as I've been able to, you know, become completely informed about it. And, you know, and luckily enough has been in the position to do something about it. And so, you know, that is one of the things that keeps me incredibly motivated, is just the fact that, you know, people, college students and friends around, have, you know, are in danger. And I think it's really important that we keep education up and are able to prevent any loss of life and accidental overdoses from happening.
Yeah. Like I love getting to talk with people who are like, I'd never, ever thought about it in this way. I think there's so many communities of kids who, like me, came from like DARE type of programs. Like I remember my school in the sixth grade took you through like a live play style simulation of like a kid getting addicted to drugs and like overdosing. And it was so not helpful, I realized coming out of it. So it's kind of one of my favorite things to get to see like the gears turning and see why this way maybe makes so much more sense. So I'm very grateful to have had that perspective shift. And a lot of it came from you guys. I like specifically remember my mom sending me the One Pill Can Kill ABC segment. And there was like a little taco shout out at the end. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I'm curious if you plan to continue working in harm reduction as you start down your career path. Question.
So I'm studying biomedical engineering, and I will be stepping down from like my CEO position once I finish college, because one big thing is we do want to keep our volunteers and our, especially like our directors and stuff within the college sphere, because like, you know, our target audience is college students, and we're expanding to different colleges, and we want to make sure to keep fresh minds at the top and make sure that, you know, we're able to expand a lot easier when you have literal college students working in the organization. And so that will be, I guess, my end with this position within Taco, but I think I definitely want to continue working at like at sort of more of an advisory position within Taco afterwards. And harm reduction as a whole, my major, I actually have a lot of interest in drug development and like pharmacology. And so I think a lot of that does play into harm reduction for sure. And so I think definitely could use like my experience here to kind of leverage that into some sort of position in the future. I don't know exactly what that looked like, but very excited that, you know, there's a lot of harm reduction is a big up and coming thing. And so I think, you know, as a person in my position, you know, there's a lot of different things I can explore going into it. But I do like for the rest of my working time as an adult, I do want to continue working with harm reduction just because of all the amazing things that's come from it.
Yeah. All right. Amazing. I'm curious, as CEO, what part of this position have you found to be the most challenging so far?
I'd say the biggest thing is, honestly, has been the influx of like, you know, people interested, and like, you know, I think it's honestly been a little bit overwhelming with how fast we've grown. Just like, you know, in this past year, in the last 2 years, expanded from 5 to 24 different schools. And so just being able to having to manage like all these different schools and over 300 people now with our organization and all our chapters, it has been a little bit overwhelming. But honestly, it's incredibly motivating because I know that many people are behind our cause now. But it's definitely also very stressful having to manage and work with this many people. But we have I have an amazing team behind me. You know, all the chapter presidents are great for Taco, and, you know, I'm sure you met Amanda, who's our COO, she's amazing. She's incredibly organized and just helped make my life so much easier. So like, you know, any stress that I'm feeling, everyone else is feeling as well. And it's all coming from a good place because we know that this many people are, you know, working towards our cause. And, it's honestly been so fun, and it's been one of the best experiences of my life.
Yeah. I definitely think you guys don't get enough credit for running something full-fledged like this while also being your college students. And like, I don't think there's enough shout out for that. And you kind of touched on it a little bit, the scope being like a fulfilling part. Would you say that's like the most fulfilling part of leading this organization, is how much it's growing and how passionate people are about it? Or is there something else that's...
Yeah, for sure. I think that, and also like the reception I've been getting from like, you know, different friends and even family members who've realized like how big of like a cause this is, and, you know, how much they see it in the news, and knowing that that's something that like me and my team are working on, I think just that's honestly the most fulfilling part, is seeing that people's lives are being saved. I don't think there's anything, there's any better motivator than that, is saving people's lives around me. And yeah, it's incredibly fulfilling, and it's all I could ask for in a job, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I joke all the time on campus when there's a lot of kind of a competitive spirit between other orgs in terms of like getting funding and getting recognition from like student government. And I always tell myself, I'm like, what are they going to say is more important on campus than this? And like being able to say that is also just like so cool and so awesome to be a part of something. And I think it makes every little stressor worth it. And seeing people really embrace it is, it's, I know it's what I find the most fulfilling about being a chapter president. I want to know if there's something you wish you knew sooner about drugs, drug use, or harm reduction in general. Like, is there anything, like, even just a little thing that like you've learned along the way that kind of like blew your mind?
Yeah, honestly, I think it goes down to how many people are affected by this kind of thing. Just because I feel guilty, honestly, about how sheltered and uneducated I was entering college about this. And I wish I got involved sooner. You know, ever since I've learned about it, I've been completely motivated, and a lot of my time has gone into like supporting it because like of how passionate I feel about it. And, you know, I guess my biggest regret is not being able to get involved sooner. I wish I could have started working with Taco when it first started. I wish I was like, you know, I wish I was like one of the founding members who was able to help out with the early structure of the organization. But yeah, like, you know, as soon as I've heard about it, as I got involved, and you know, I've been riding that tail ever since.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. This is my final question. And I want to know, you know, if someone were to ask you, why should I care about this organization and their mission? What would you say to them? Like, what is basically your Taco elevator pitch?
Yeah, I'd say that we are preventing the leading cause of death in adults. And, you know, I think that's as big a motivation as there is that, you know, we've in the past year saved over 1,000 lives, most of them college students, most of them very young people who are, you know, are either naive or have not been educated enough about drugs. And that is our motivation, is, you know, education, saving lives and helping people out. And I think that's as big a motivation as any. And, you know, which is why we have such a great team around us. And, you know, why we've been able to expand so much so quickly, because, you know, as soon as people hear about us, they want to get involved, they want to help out. And, you know, like, for example, you guys, you're able to start a chapter in Emerson. And, you know, it's just one of the few examples of, you know, great stories that we were able to tell because of how passionate people are about our organization. And I think just the passion and love that people have for this is as big a motivation as any. And, you know, if people want to get involved, they'll see exactly why.
Right. Amazing. I'll copy that word for word next time I'm trying to convince another member to join. But those are all my questions. Thank you so much. This has been such an amazing discussion, and I feel really appreciative that we've had the chance to talk like this. So thank you so much for coming and being on the podcast. And I hope we can talk more soon.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you so much for having me. And I appreciate it. Thank you for all the work you do as well.
All for this week's episode of the Doses Podcast. If you or someone you know is interested in getting involved with Taco, make sure to visit their website, tacoinc.org. As always, be safe, be prepared, and take care of yourselves.